taken apart, yeah, you can be sure there will be pushback from these hardliners.
All right. Well, we'll be talking more about this throughout the day and days ahead. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thomas Erdbrink is the New York Times bureau chief in Tehran.
You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good morning. We're coming up on 8:50. Temperatures in the mid to upper 70s here in East Central Illinois. I'm Brian Moline with you on this this Wednesday morning. Looking at what's going on today, international stock markets uneven after Greece agreed to a bailout that will enforce more austerity, and China's main index fell after 3 days of gains driven by a massive government intervention. Futures point to a slight opening decline on Wall Street. Benchmark U.S. crude oil shed more than a dollar, holding above $51 per barrel. The dollar declined against the yen and was steady against the euro. Elsewhere, December corn was lower early, with the eastern Midwest getting a break from the rain Tuesday, and DTN's five-day forecast expecting only lighter amounts in the next 5 days. Late Monday, USDA said that 27% of corn was silking, behind its five-year pace of 34%. USDA's good to excellent rating was unchanged at 69%, but DTN's corn condition index slipped 1 point to 164. Meanwhile, November soybeans were higher early Tuesday after USDA said that they dropped their good to excellent rating from 63 to 62%, resulting in a 5-point drop in DTN's soybean condition index to 149. Port of very poor ratings in Indiana, Ohio, Missouri, and Illinois were all pretty high at 26, 22, 20, and 20% respectively. USDA also said that 38% of soybeans were blooming on schedule, and some in the Deep South were already setting pods. 8:51, and time to check the growing conditions with World Weather's Drew Lerner.
Some additional showers and thunderstorms will occur across portions of the Midwest as we move forward through this next few-day period. The majority of the precipitation may not be quite as intense as that which has occurred in recent past days, but we are still going to be seeing precipitation occur occasionally across parts of the region, not only over these next few days, but over the next week. The precipitation, though, will be less frequent and less significant in the waterlogged areas in the lower eastern Midwest. These areas will still see precipitation once in a while, but there will be more sunny days and more heat occurring across the region to help accelerate drying across the region. It will be a slow process, however, and I certainly don't want to leave the impression that it will not rain at all. These areas will still see some shower and thunderstorm activity. Today is a perfect example. We'll see showers and storms occurring across Michigan and parts of Ohio down into eastern Kentucky. There may still be a few lingering showers in Indiana. The precipitation will end tomorrow. We'll see most of the precipitation tomorrow and on into Thursday, occurring most significantly in the western and northern parts of the Midwest, giving the lower eastern areas a chance to dry down for a little while. But on Friday, there'll be a new frontal system that'll cut through part of the eastern Midwest, producing some more showers, mostly of very light intensity. A more aggressive frontal boundary will work its way across the northern and central parts of the Midwest as we get out into the early part of next week, and it will bring some rain down to the lower Midwest once again by probably Tuesday, if not Monday night, and we'll see some of that precipitation vary in intensity with a potential for some locally strong thunderstorms. Overall, over the next 7 days, we're going to see showers and thunderstorms in many areas of the Midwest, but a lot of the precipitation will be focused on these frontal boundaries, which will be fast moving across the region and limiting the duration of precipitation. The most important rain may actually occur in some of the western Corn Belt locations where somewhat drier weather has occurred recently. There will be some rain in North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, also Nebraska and Iowa, but Missouri and Kansas into southwestern parts of Illinois and the northern parts of the U.S. Delta will see relatively dry conditions as we move forward through this 7-day period. The lower parts of the Delta may also be dry as well as portions of the interior southeast. These areas will also see temperatures that are seasonably warm, and that will help to accelerate the drying rates, and we'll see the ground firm up in some of those areas. Rainfall in much of the Midwest over the 7-day period will range anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to about an inch and a half. There will be some locally intense thunderstorms that will produce heavier amounts of rainfall, though, and those will be somewhat random, but we will see Ohio and southeastern Michigan favored for stronger storms today, and then as we move into the weekend and next week, we'll see some of the stronger storms in the upper parts of the Midwest. Well, the temperature bias across the region will continue to be mostly seasonable. We'll look for highs over the next few days in the eastern Midwest, running mostly 70s and 80s. We'll expect to see some lower 90-degree temperatures starting to evolve across parts of the southwestern sections of the eastern belt. In other words, portions of central and southern Illinois, southwestern Indiana, and parts of Kentucky as we get out into Friday and on through the weekend. In the meantime, it'll be warm in the western corn belt almost throughout the entire two-week period. We'll see temperatures often in the 80s and into the 90s. Most of the temperatures will peak out in readings that will most likely work their way into the middle and upper 90s in some locations on the west side of the Missouri River, with extremes out in hard red winter wheat country reaching up over 100 degrees on a fairly often basis. There was extreme highs yesterday into the range of 100 to 106 degrees in the central plains. That was rather stressful for livestock and a few of the other crops in the region. That kind of heat is not coming into the heart of the Midwest anytime soon, though. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. It's 8:55 on this Wednesday, on this Tuesday morning, and it's time to check in with Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities over in Normal. Pete, good morning, sir.
Good morning, and overnight we made new highs in both corn and beans. December corn hit 454 and a quarter, and we had the November beans go finally through the 1040 of a week ago and hit 1045. We've since backed off from those. The weather forecasts are for drying out and warmth, and that's helping push things lower today. We actually have December corn at 439.5, down 6.5 right now. It's been to 38. The November beans, after being high at the 45, went back to 22.5. They're 23.75, now down 4.75. The expectations are for better weather to help the crops looking better. The good to excellent ratings that came out Monday afternoon were down 1 in soybeans from 63 to 62. Corn stayed the same at 69 good to excellent. So those things are expected to stabilize and maybe get a little better with good sunshine and warmth expected for the next few days and not as much rain. We still have lots of rain troubles and worries from too much water in Missouri, parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and other parts. But we have Minnesota in great shape, western Iowa in great shape, Nebraska, the Dakotas all supposedly in better shape. But that's helping hold the prices lower after making those new highs with better prospects coming. And that's basically the outside markets. We're a little worried about usage in both China and Europe with all the economic things that are happening over there. When you get into livestock, hogs were down the 300 limit yesterday and came roaring back and closed to the upside and are up another $1.30 today. Cattle continue to be back and forth. We have feeders today up $1.90 in August at 213, whereas regular August cattle are around unchanged after being up 20 to 30 is all. But big news is better weather. Industry thinks that'll create a little better crops, and we do have corn down 6 to 7. Beans are down 3 to 4. And the outside, the dollar is down again. Dollar went up to 97.22. That was helping hold prices backwards. And crude oil unchanged at 52.20. This is Pete at Bates Commodities in Normal.
All right, Pete, thank you very much for that report. We appreciate it. Pete Manhart with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois this morning. Taking a look at weather here locally in Champaign-Urbana, we do have a flood warning for the Sangamon River at Monticello until 1 p.m. tomorrow. That continuing. Mostly sunny skies today. Could see a pop-up shower or thunderstorm at some point today, looking at a high of 87 degrees. Tonight, cooler conditions, partly cloudy temperatures, a 30% chance of a shower or a thunderstorm this evening, and a low of 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little bit cooler with a high of 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, a low of 61. And for Thursday, partly sunny and a high of 82 degrees. Looking ahead a little bit, there's a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm on Thursday night, but it looks like we'll have a pretty hot and sunny weekend. Saturday could get a little uncomfortable out there as we'll hit 90 degrees with high humidity. They're calling for heat index readings close to 110 degrees by Saturday afternoon, so might want to keep an eye on the livestock there. Meanwhile, several major business and economic reports are due out today. This morning, the Commerce Department will release retail sales data for June and business inventories for May. J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Johnson & Johnson will report quarterly financial markets before the market opens. CSX and Yum Brands report quarterly financial results after the market close. We're coming up on 9 o'clock. This is AM 580, WILL AM 580, and FM 90.9 HD1 Urbana. We've got another hour of Morning Edition coming up on WILL, and we'll check the markets once again coming up at about 9:50 this morning. I'm Brian Moline. This is WILL.
Good morning. In Vienna, an historic nuclear deal has been reached between Iran and the West, but the agreement still needs to clear many hurdles, including a very skeptical U.S. Congress. We'll hear more on Morning Edition from NPR News. Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker is running for president. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Walker says America needs a president who will fight and win. African American students are making huge strides in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math. We'll hear from one biologist who got her start when there were few African American students like her. And we go to Mission Control for the first ever spacecraft flyby of Pluto. It's July 14th, Bastille Day. Singer Angélique Kidjo, the queen of African music, turns 55. The news is next.